Tape 5. Some checklists for our departures. This very last tape is indeed for our departures, which are also always already only tentative endings, blobs of beginnings, maybe fogs of doubt, and solid pleasures. Who doesn't like their first night in their own bed? And very seriously, not that sleeping in your own bed isn't, but this tape amplifies pauses and intervals. For, and I take liberties to we us here, but we'll need time. In Dear Science and Other Stories, Catherine McKittrick reminds that if we are committed to anti-colonial, anti-imperial, anti-thought, which we are, and I again take liberties, then our starting point, or rather, permanent infusion of our process must be one of disobedient relationality that always questions and thus is not beholden to normative knowledge-seeking and knowledge-making logic in arts, humanities and science, and in the context of field working, not enclosed at the geographical location of field working. This might mean that the verbing of the field and methods hardly stops when we leave the residency time-space. If our body minds are fields, they will keep method making and they will keep field working with their own pace. It might feel slow and possibly gooey, and also swift and rough and immediate. Our body minds will still take some time during which they'll field work. And we will need some time to reflect on living methodologies. To reflect on methodologies of method making, we'll need some time for reflection on this emplaced reflection in its own right that living methodologies has been. Thank you. And I venture there will be some generative struggle packed into this type of reflection, because for several weeks, and I believe for the duration of our practices, we have been persistently, and rightfully so, and urgently so, emphasizing the ethics of method making. And there are multiple checklists and solid scaffoldings that help one to reflect in this context. We've spoken about many of the checklists and scaffoldings, drafted them, edited them, shared them with one another. This tape could have gathered all of them or summarized them. But instead, I'd like to leave with you one poem that does this summary work better than any living methodology's companion might be able to do. And the tape will wrap with one checklist that I stitch here to remind us of pleasure. Attention is a form of ethics, a wisdom of and a poem by Asya Vadut, a weaver of magical black feminist syllables. That's Tina Kampt's words, not mine, but I full-heartedly second. Attention as a form of ethics. Let's dissect what it means to mourn. Let's look at all the desiccant and what's left. Little exoskeleton bareback. How the straight line can become apparent. How the likeness is a live bale breeze. Look at the vagrant earth. See what you see when you look, when you say see. How the curvature becomes apparent. Now look at my topography. Now look at the mountain range. How can we ever do it justice? Do you know how we can do justice? Let's talk about erasure. I mean, it's easy. Start with a word that you don't like. Start with the people you didn't know. Start with a neighbor rank. Start with any miasma dispersed. Let's demean what we don't like, because it's easier than a reckoning. Let's say the past means that it's finished, never acknowledged, how it throbs, immutably, forever finishing its punishing business. Let's talk about observance, pistils, ugly shapes. Let's talk about all the demands. Let's talk about mediocrity. Let's spell it wrong. Let's remove the obvious from the image. What's left? The residue. History is so residual. What's left? The spectacle. What's left? The spectral. Most knowledge is scanned magic. Don't let me forget my language. And the promised checklist for the pleasure, in our case of useful field working. This checklist sits in the jam of a book, not book, imagined and designed by my friend Sarah Carman. The checklist belongs to this interdisciplinary artist called Riley Hooker, who says that all models are wrong, but some are useful, and comes up with a series of questions that might point towards a working definition of usefulness, and I insist, of pleasure found in making something useful, in terms of what one is bringing into the world, or more importantly, what one is not. Am I making a meaningful contribution to my community? Does the work, my contribution, my book, my text, my soundscape, my performance present benefit from its form beyond just getting the work done? am I, or is someone involved, performing the embodied ideas that society has presented to me? And if yes, am I internalizing them and then representing these ideas back to the world through an intentional lens? Would something other than the form I chose of a book, of a text, of a soundscape, of a performance be more useful, effective, or even cheaper? Am I enjoying it? If I'm not working solo, without asking, am I convinced that everyone involved feels like it's worth their time? Do the elements I'm using make a meaningful intervention into the normative time-space sequence? Is the aesthetics I'm working with, in my language or other medium, pulling you closer or pushing you away? Do I actually want to pull you closer, or would it be more useful to push you away? Is this a light touch or a heavy hand? if it's a light touch, is there still an idea present? If I'm going hard, am I adding a layer of meaning or am I just stroking my research libido? If what I am doing is, in fact, libidinally motivated, could it feel even better? And one brief PS. While our body minds keep field working, drink in the beauty of field working. Pleasure in the practice of field working. Find it, sense it, practice pleasure of field working like your life depends on it. Elena Davidge Cyril, quoted, and Adrienne Murray Brown, Pleasure Activism, The Politics of Feeling Good, quoted, in Yvonne Billimore's and Yussi Koitler's Introduction to the Pleasures We Choose. Look it up. And once again quoted for the final tape for Living Methodologies. Thank you.